Welcome back to Coaches on a Mission. I'm your host, Dallas Travers, and I'm really glad you're here because this episode just might save you hundreds of dollars every single month, not to mention at least seven headaches. Okay, so my guest is Angela Tan, who is some sort of systems fairy godmother. Angela believes that the fastest yet most sustainable way to make it easy for your audience to discover you, to pay you, and to rave about you is by automating your marketing, sales, and client management process. Sounds dreamy, right? So that's why Angela is passionate about educating online business owners like you and me on easy-to-implement automated marketing, sales, and client management workflows so that you can run a sustainable and hands-off business. But Angela understands that many of us waste too much time and money on apps or tools that we simply don't need. Maybe your coach raves about something and it seems all bright and shiny, so you go and invest, and now your overhead is being eaten into month after month. All right, that pattern, it stops today thanks to Angela's four-step process to help you make informed choices about what tools your business actually needs and which ones work best for your brain. So I wasn't joking when I said that this episode might save you a bunch of money and time. Let's get down to it, shall we? Here's Angela Tan. Hi, Angela. Welcome to Coaches on a Mission.
Hi, Dallas. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm happy. We were just talking before we hit record. Back in December, we did a big, I think it was an 8-episode series called What to Do Instead. And we got such great feedback about it that I thought we need to do these episodes more often. So you are the first of hopefully many guest experts who will drop in to the show to identify a harmful or just silly, outdated practice that a lot of coaches need to ditch and then provide us with an alternative. So thank you so much for being here. I'm excited to learn from you today.
Yes, I can't wait to share all about my advice.
Okay, great. Well, let's get started. So my first question for you is pretty straightforward. Can you identify for our listeners an outdated, harmful, or just silly practice that's often perpetuated in the online space? Tell everybody what it is, and then share with us why exactly you feel this action needs to be replaced.
Yeah, so the practice that I would love your listeners to ditch is the idea that you need to drop big bucks on a fancy tech stack or copy someone else's software or system strategy exactly to have a successful coaching business. And yeah, the reason why I think this practice needs to go, I think as online business owners, we need to understand that if someone is promoting a software, especially those like celebrity coaches, and they're telling you that you absolutely need a particular software without getting to understand what your business looks like exactly and what you are looking for in a software, and they have an affiliate link ready for you to use, chances are they are just trying to get an affiliate commission. In my 4+ years of being a tech and automation strategist, and I've worked with so many online coaches and consultants, I have seen them invest hundreds, if not thousands of dollars signing up for a software just because their mentors told them or just because they heard it on social media. They were told they needed a specific software to scale their business, and they're being pulled in so many different directions when it comes to what softwares they need to run a successful coaching business, the exact sales system that they need. And in fact, I actually sent a market research survey to my audience last month, and yeah, 40% of the people who responded indicated that they rely on their coaches or the people that they follow on social media for tech and systems advice. And that's a lot.
And that's a ton. And you know what's coming up for me? I've been in business for a long time. So there are certain tech systems that I use because better ones didn't exist when I first started using, I'm not going to name them, right? But using a certain piece of tech. And now it's too cumbersome or not worth it for me to switch. So there are certain things that I use that I actually don't recommend that my audience uses. And then I'm also thinking about the leakiness financially that comes when we're just trained to sign up for XYZ life-saving whatever because someone we trust told us to. My credit card expired back a couple months ago, and I was so glad. I thought, all right, this is our opportunity to make a list of all of the things that I'm, you know, $9 here or $24 there every single month, and really get clear on what we're using, why we're using it, and whether or not we need it anymore. I see how this can just become so much bigger than it needs to be for most online business owners, let alone newer online business owners.
Yes. And especially like what I've seen happen over again, like you mentioned, you sign up for a software and you set it all up within that software. But then months, if not years later, you realize you're overpaying for a really complex software that you no longer need. But then when you get to that point, now you're having to consider the money and time investment that it would take to migrate away from that software and set up camp in a brand new software. So your options are to continue to stay with the overpriced complex software that's not really serving your business, or hire it out for someone to migrate for you, or you spend the time doing it yourself. So that's not a fun trap to be in. And I've seen a lot of online business owners stuck in that trap, but it's sometimes a better move to like migrate away. But again, that's money and time that you have to invest.
Totally. So, you're just making me feel bad now.
No. You're not the only one. There's so it happens to so many people, but at least you're aware of it.
Yeah. As of like 3 minutes ago. So thanks, Angela. All right. That wraps up the episode. Thanks for coming. Okay. So we've identified this practice, which is essentially using your mentor as your research, right, to determine what software you need, and just fully trusting whatever your mentor says without really thinking through why, how, and when a certain software stack might be appropriate for your business. So what should our listeners do instead?
Yeah, so I think instead of blindly following or copying other people's tech stack, you should really spend the time to find a software that suits your business needs and that is also user-friendly to you. I think our brains all work differently. I know for myself, I was just diagnosed with ADHD, so I learned a lot about how my brain works and how my brain works with softwares. And I have to take more time to figure out if a software works for me. But spending the time to figure out if the software works with your brain. And I know it doesn't sound sexy and it's not a money-making activity, but it's a habit that will prevent you from losing money on unnecessary softwares for your business. Because if you think about it, you can't run an online-based business without softwares. Like you can't escape it. And I really encourage online coaches to think of your softwares and your business as employees and give them the same attention and time that you would when you hire employees, because they are essentially like doing the work for you and helping you run your business. So they are employees of your business. So give them that same attention and time and really like filter through, is this software for me? Is it within my budget? That's so important too. Like that's kind of one the first thing that I look at when I'm signing up for new software is like, if it's not within my budget, I don't even go down the rabbit hole of like figuring out if I will like the software. But yeah, just develop that habit of looking at your softwares as employees, and I think you'll make better decisions. And we'll dive more into like the how-tos.
Great. Yeah. I love that analogy because immediately if I'm thinking of software as investing in a software the same way I think about investing in making a hire, that process is slow and it's very thoughtful. Which is the opposite of what we see, what we talked about earlier, where your mentor has an affiliate link to whatever fancy thing, and we just click and buy and worry about it later. Okay, I'm excited to help to hear from you how coaches and our listeners can really develop this habit of relating to software like a staff member. So can you take us through the process?
Yeah. So my first step, if this isn't already a routine in your business, is to audit your tech stack. And I recommend doing it once a quarter, if not once every 6 months, to make sure that you're not paying for softwares you don't need, or you're not paying for duplicate softwares. I know I'm a sucker for free trials, and I am also a victim of letting my free trials expire and forgetting that my free trial ended and I've been paying for a software after the free trial ended. So doing this one exercise is a simple way to make sure that you're not losing money over softwares and that you're regularly evaluating if the softwares you've signed up for are actually serving your business. Again, think back to how softwares are employees in your business. This is your version of like routine performance reviews for your employees. So I would start there first. And then if you're in a position where you have shiny object syndrome, where you notice that you're, you know, there's a software that you're interested in trying, you keep getting ads for it and whatnot, I recommend just taking a step back and get a clear understanding of your business processes and routines and evaluate if a software change is truly necessary. There's that saying, like, if it's not broke, like, don't fix it. Mm-hmm. Is that the saying? Like, if everything is working fine in your business, like, don't go migrating away, like, from the softwares that you already have. This way you can avoid investing big bucks into something that might not even be the right fit for you. Because I've also seen, I myself, and I've seen some peers, like, sign up for a project management software that we were told could scale our business. And we sign up for it and we try our hardest to like stick with it and make it work, but it just ends up not working.
Right. And
when our old software, it was perfectly fine. Our old project management system was perfectly fine.
The first step is this quarterly audit. I have a question about that. Mm-hmm. And then the second step, what I wrote down, and I want to make sure I'm understanding the point you're making here because it's an important one. I wrote down, buy software to solve a problem rather than software to work a miracle. Is that is that a succinct explanation of this perspective? Okay, cool. Yeah. I want to go back to step one for just a moment, if that's okay with you, Angela. What about the listener who's thinking, number one, I'm too busy, but I think even a bigger one is this idea of my business is too small. I don't even really have a lot of software to run an audit. What argument would you make to still encourage folks to do that quarterly audit? And maybe talk a little bit more about what to look for during the audit.
Yeah. So for email marketing, for example, okay, we'll take that. If you are someone who doesn't really leverage email marketing, but you signed up for a really expensive email marketing software, if there's no ROI from a specific software, like I think that's an indication that you should probably ditch that software too.
Right. Just because a software is capable of doing something really advanced, if your business is not leveraging whatever that advanced capability is, it's irrelevant and likely a waste of money. Okay. Yeah,
exactly. And then I think budget is a big piece there too. I like to look at, we all have different seasons in business. When I was on maternity leave, I had to cut back on a lot of software expenses because I knew I wasn't going to be using those softwares in that season of my life and my business. So looking at, you know, what if you're in the newer stages, just trying to get started and you're trying to get your business off the ground and running, you probably don't need those really advanced softwares yet. But also looking at the softwares that you already have and making the most out of it. And I'll talk a little bit about this later, but spending time like to really get to know your softwares beyond just the basic things that you use out of it every single day. I like to join like Facebook groups for the softwares that I love using to learn more about the softwares and find other ways that I can use it to really like leverage it for my business.
That's so smart. So smart. Okay. So step one, we're running a quarterly performance review of our software.
Yes.
Step two, when we see, if we know we like bright, shiny things, we're tempted or advised to invest in a new software, the first thing we do is take a step back and really think about investing in software to solve a problem more than in software to perform a miracle. What's step three?
Step three, and I'll step back over a little bit and say that even if you're not having shiny object syndrome when it comes to softwares or systems, I would still recommend having a clear understanding of your business processes and routines so that you can identify and troubleshoot efficiency leaks in your business and figure out how to leverage your tech stack to simplify your processes. So that's kind of like step 2B.
Got it.
Step three, I mentioned this earlier, but take advantage of free trials if you are software shopping or call it software cheating on the softwares that you already have, but you're like considering migrating away, and really make sure your brain works with the software. For example, I just migrated from ActiveCampaign to Drip to ConvertKit within a span of 3 months.
Oh my gosh.
And the mistake that I learned there was I didn't take the time to figure out if Drip, the email marketing platform, worked for my brain. And if I would have just taken a little bit of time to figure out like, okay, this is how this works. And also like, this is what I need out of this software. These are the exact features that I need and what I need support with to simplify my business processes, not complicate it. Then that is also like a big factor in determining if the software is right for you. But going back to how like our brains are all unique and like we work differently. And if our brains just don't click with a software, that's a good sign that software is not for you. And no matter how hard you try to like force yourself to like it, if it's not working for you, it's not simplifying your business, it's not going to empower you as an online business owner, then I would really consider like not looking at that software at all.
Totally. It's like skinny jeans.
My body type is not built for skinny jeans. I'm so glad that they're like not as popular as they were for like a decade. But that's the analogy that came to mind right away is sure, like that's what I'm supposed to wear, but my butt does not want to wear skinny jeans. So that's great.
Okay. It's so funny because all I have in my closet are skinny jeans. I had two kids and now I find out skinny jeans aren't in style anymore. I was like, now I gotta buy new jeans.
No, you don't. That's the takeaway from this episode.
No, right? That is true because I tried to find new jeans and none of them worked for me. So I was like, you know what? I'm just sticking with the skinny jeans.
Yes.
We're just gonna wear the skinny jeans.
Great. They're for you. You wear them.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned earlier that you love a good free trial and you have been known in the past to forget about the free trial. So do you have a safeguard in place now, understanding that this has happened for you in the past? Is there something you do to remember to cancel your free trial?
Oh, yes. I will add it to my calendar now. Whatever day the free trial expires, especially if it's a free trial where I have to put a credit card in place before they even let me try out the software, I will put it on my calendar and it's not going to be due the day of where the free trial expires. It's going to be the day before or 2 days before so that I don't let it like slip my mind and because I have a tendency to think like, oh yeah, I'll do that later.
Completely.
And later means 3 months later.
Yeah.
So
totally.
I try to have reminders starting 2 days before when the free trial expires to remind me about those sneaky software subscriptions that could
totally
on you later on.
Yeah. What if I told you that you could leverage your natural strengths in order to make your next big move in your business? Yep. Maybe you don't have to be somebody you're not just to build a coaching business you're proud of. So that's where the Coach's Superpower Quiz comes in. It's a 45-second quiz that will reveal the precise next steps to help you find paying clients, build your list, and eventually scale in a smart way. So you'll receive a custom toolkit based on your strengths instead of a one-size-fits-all formula in your results. So let's take the Coach's Superpower Quiz, shall we? You can do that now at dallastravers.com/quiz. What's the next step? I think we're on step four now, yeah?
Yeah. So again, this doesn't sound sexy. It's not a money-making activity, but I really recommend spending at least an hour a week or if not 30 minutes a week if you're short on time to explore the softwares that you are paying for. Like there are so many online coaches who are unaware of all of the features that they have access to within a software that they are paying for. So giving yourself the space to play around with the software and learn how else it can serve your business will really help you get the most out of that software. And I also recommend taking the time to learn how your softwares can work together. So I'm a huge fan of Zapier. I don't know how to pronounce it. And I call it my automation playground. So I'll go into Zapier to see how I can get the different softwares in my business to talk to each other to really simplify and automate my processes even more. And also explore within the softwares that you have their automation capabilities and their native integration capabilities so that you can see how it can play with your other softwares, how else you can really leverage that software in your business. To, again, the goal here is their softwares are meant to simplify your business, not complicate it.
Yeah.
So taking this time, again, it's not sexy, but in the long run, it will help you understand your softwares better. Taking that time to understand your employees to see what else they can do for you.
Yep. Yes. And you just said the key word again, remembering we need to relate to the softwares we use as team members. Because I heard you say step four and thought, I'm not doing that. But I definitely take time with my team members to understand their capabilities, to understand areas where they really don't thrive. So that's helpful. Let's talk a little bit about, because you said this isn't sexy and doesn't give a big ROI, but I think it actually does.
It does.
So bigger picture, tell us a little bit more about where that return on investment comes in by taking an hour a week to play around, right? And explore our softwares.
Yeah. So I like to think of it as when you hire employees, you have your like higher level employees that you pay more for to do like the high level things. And then sometimes you get like the lazy employees that are like, what are you here for? Like, what are you really contributing to my business here? And that hour a week where, or 30 minutes a week where you spend that time doing this is where you get to understand like, am I overpaying for an employee that's not really doing something for my business?
Right.
And, or am I like, I don't want to say underpaying, but there are certain softwares where you'll, as you start to explore the features that are available within that software, and you'll see like there's actually upgrades that you can pay for versus signing up for a completely brand new software somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And now you're having two different softwares that you need to manage.
Yeah.
So I used to say that I'm not a fan of all-in-one softwares because it's, I like to think of it as like, you know, when you're a little girl and you have like the little Barbie makeup kit and like the eyeshadows and the blushes and all that are like all in one place and they get really messy and like, it's not that great. You know, it's just like, so it's just so messy. You got eyeshadow and your blush and eyeshadow and your lipstick versus if you have like an individual eyeshadow and individual blush, like it's good at doing its job. All in one softwares could also be really good for people who just need that simplicity.
Totally, yes.
Of being able to manage it all in one place versus having to log into five different softwares to get one thing done in their business.
Yep.
So if taking this time to like figure out what you can get out of a software and how it works for your brain in the long run, like it's less time you're having to spend managing all the different employees in your business. Yeah. And software costs can really, like when you do that audit, especially if you've been in business for a while and you haven't done this audit, like you'll notice how easy it is to rack up software costs.
Completely.
It is so easy. Spending this time to, again, it doesn't sound sexy, but the long-term or even short-term ROI is just knowing where your money is going when you're paying for these softwares and cutting out the ones that just aren't doing the job or that aren't making your life easier as an online business owner and an online coach.
I think there's also an intangible benefit here, which to me could be the most powerful one. What a great way to really feel like a business owner who knows what the hell you're doing.
Yes.
Right? So that confidence that can come just from taking the time to get to know your employee, right? And make sure that everything is really synergistic and working. I find often newer coaches can fall into second guessing themselves a lot. And then that habit bleeds into all areas of their business. So by just taking this little, relatively small amount of time consistently to understand the inner workings of your business and have agency over the choices that you're making and understanding why, that's such a confidence booster.
Yeah. Because what I've seen happen way too often too is like they feel that they don't have their systems together. They don't have their back end together. And then they start falling for Band-Aid solutions. And they start trying all these different strategies to realize that it doesn't work for them. Or you go down the scaling trap where you're like, oh, I want to scale my business. But you can't scale with a clunky foundation or a clunky
totally.
Back end. Yeah. So when you spend this time to really, you know, get to know your software and make sure that they are set up and optimized to simplify your business and that you'd have peace of mind that you're building your business on a solid foundation, then you have the time and space to go try all those scaling strategies and know that, like, when you scale, your business is set up to handle
yep.
the traffic that could come with scaling.
Amazing. Totally. I totally agree. Okay. So we're exploring softwares that we pay for, really dedicating time and relating to it almost as business development, leadership development, confidence development time that we're investing into ourselves and into our business. Cool.
Yes.
So then what?
So then you get to know your software. I would hold off. My recommendation is holding off on investing in courses or done-for-you setups for a new software that you're trying out. Mm. There are Google, there's YouTube, there's so many free resources. Within the software itself, there's a whole like help section that will guide you through how to get started in a software. So you really take advantage of the free resources that is out there to get you started. And then once you know, once you've played around with it, once you've really determined that this is a software that will bring value to your business and simplify your business, then you can start thinking like, okay, how else can I really leverage this software? And look into, if you come across it, courses that will help you set up more advanced things
yes.
within that, or even hire out a strategist or a done-for-you contractor that will set things up for you within the software. Because I'll tell a story here that probably maybe you've seen this happen too, but I had a friend who was using Trello as her project management software, and then she joined a mastermind, and everyone in the mastermind used ClickUp. And they were all showing her like all these fancy things that you can do within ClickUp. And then they were telling her you can't scale your business using Trello. You need a more robust software like ClickUp. And she fell for it, unfortunately, and ended up hiring a done-for-you service provider to set up ClickUp for her. Also bought courses for her and her VA so that she can learn how to really like leverage ClickUp. And after about 6 months, they ended up moving back to Trello because ClickUp just didn't work for her brain. So that's
yeah.
money and time investment, again, that you're spending on a new software that you haven't taken the time to understand if it will work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I recommend really holding off on investing money into courses or done-for-you work within a new software until you've really determined that yeah. the software is for you. And how you figure out if that software is for you, are you consistent with it?
Yes.
Are you consistent with it? Are you more productive with it, with that software? If your clients are having to interact with that software, if you're noticing less friction in mm-hmm. your client experience or in your customer journey, that's a good indication that software is serving your business. And another thing, is it helping you do things easier in your business? Is it helping you automate things
yeah.
in your business? Is it like a time dependency that was there previously, but now there isn't because now you can get two softwares to talk to each other. Like those are some things
yes.
that you can think of as you are determining, is this software for me?
Yeah, that's so helpful, Angela. Can you talk a little bit about, I mean, I feel like we've talked about it quite a bit, but let's fast forward to the day in our listeners' business where they're running quarterly audits. They really are intentional about their software choices. They're taking time consistently to maximize the software they are using. They're doing all of these steps. So what's possible for them? Tell me if there's anything, whether you want to repeat what we've already talked about or even go a little further, but paint that future picture of what's possible
yeah.
for our listener when they're living this life.
So what's possible here is you just feel more empowered
mm-hmm.
by your tech stack. And you also feel empowered to make smarter decisions about the softwares that you use in your business and the systems that you are implementing in your business, and you're relying on yourself entirely versus what other people are doing. You can definitely look at what other people are doing and take inspiration from it and customize it for your business. I do that all the time. I don't copy exactly what other people are doing. But the goal here is it's your business. Everyone's business is unique. And you're making those decisions on your own rather than having to rely on other people's systems or tech strategies that they are using.
Yeah. I mentioned this earlier, but it just comes up for me so intensely as I listen to you is we're talking about systems and tech stacks, but really what we're talking about is one way to cultivate the habit of self-trust as a business owner. And I think that's really powerful.
Because no one else knows your business like you do. So you can have that trust within yourself.
Totally. And this is an opportunity to get to know our own businesses more and more.
Yes.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So if you could leave our listeners with one important thing to take away from this conversation, what would you say?
So I feel like I've said this so many times, but our businesses are just all so unique. And there really is no one size fits all solution when it comes to systems and software. So really embracing that uniqueness when you are searching for softwares and when you are designing systems for your business so that your foundation, your systems and back end are empowering you as a coach, as an online business owner as well. And you have that peace of mind that your back end is solid and you can scale peacefully if scaling is the route that you want to go to, or if you just want to sustain your business.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with just wanting to sustain your business, but having the systems to be able to help you sustain your business and also having that systems mindset of knowing that you can make your own decisions through any pivots or any seasons of business that you are going through. Like, that is so powerful to have. So again, I know it's not the sexiest thing to hear, but really having that like systems empowerment and systems mindset to understand like how your back end works and knowing that you have that solid foundation can really be so powerful.
I couldn't agree more. And I thank you so much for sharing this, not only sharing this concept, but really breaking down a process for folks to follow so that the advice their mentor gives them about whatever new software they should use becomes the first step in the process instead of the only step in the process. So thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me, Dallas.
I'm Dallas Travers, and this is Coaches on a Mission. I want to thank you so much for tuning into the show. If you don't already follow the show, please do that now by hitting the subscribe or follow button. And if there's a coach in your life who you care about, share this episode with them. I have a feeling they'll thank you for it. So if you enjoyed what you heard and you want to take things further, you can do that really easily. So we've got over 200 episodes here for you to enjoy. Plus, you can access transcripts and curated playlists when you join the Pod Squad. Join us now for free at dallastravers.com/squad. Thanks again for tuning in.